The Hudson Valley YA Society will be presenting two best-selling YA authors, Brendan Kiley and Marisha Pessel, on Sunday, June 10th at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck at 4 o'clock. Brendan Kiley is the New York Times best-selling author of All American Boys with Jason Reynolds, The Last True Love Story, and The Gospel of Winter. His work has been published in 10 languages. He was twice awarded Best Fiction for Young Adults by the American Library Association and was a Kirkus Reviews Best Books of 2014. His new novel is Tradition. It explores the insidious nature of tradition at a prestigious boarding school. Prestigious, powerful, privileged, this is Fulbrook Academy, an elite prep school where history looms in the leafy branches over its brick walkways, but some traditions upheld in its hallowed halls are profoundly dangerous. Brendan Kiley is the author of the new book Tradition, and he joins us this morning. Brendan, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Appreciate having you on the program. What brought you to the story of looking at schools and the role that tradition plays in them?
Sure. Well, in particular, in this book, this is a novel about two teens who are trying to navigate the traditions that incorporate a kind of unchecked misogyny in their boarding school culture. And for me, I was kind of looking around a few years ago, and I was thinking about how deeply entrenched some of these attitudes and behaviors are that eventually can become quite harmful for young women. But there were two moments in particular that I was thinking of that inspired the writing of this book. And in 2015, you may recall Emma Salkowitz. She graduated from Columbia University, and she was a courageous young woman who dragged her mattress with her to graduation because it was in protest to let folks know that the school could not cover up and silence her. She wanted to talk about and make sure people knew about her sexual assault. And at the same time, just a little bit later, while on the campaign trail for presidency, we heard the excuse locker room talk for the kind of language and behavior and attitude that's incredibly misogynistic and harmful for women. But I saw a photo of a boys' football team in Portland, Oregon, and they were all wearing wild feminist T-shirts, and the caption beneath the photo said, "Not in our locker room." And I thought about what it would be to create this novel that's a dialogue between two teens, one girl, one boy, to sort of highlight and honor the courageous women who've been speaking about misogyny and speaking up about harassment and abuse, and also to honor the men who have chosen to listen and are deciding to stand with them and hopefully reach a few more men to join them.
And of course, one of the things that rang with me when I was reading the book is you think of the stories that have been coming out of these elite prep schools across the country, Choate being one of the latest examples, and what is happening there, but finding decades and decades of behavior that is now coming to the fore.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is something that I think, I think people know and have known for a long time. But occasionally we're called to be more accountable in public when they become large news stories. And for me, I think that's part of why I wanted to undermine this idea that there are traditions in these schools. So at Fulbrook Academy in the novel, one of the traditions is the winter ball. And at the winter ball, seniors take first years to the winter ball. And while on the surface, the idea is, well, you know, first years are uncomfortable, they don't know everybody yet, and this is a way to guarantee a date and they can feel incorporated. But on the other hand, because it's senior boys taking first year girls and senior girls taking first year boys, but in the case of this, the older boys taking younger girls, it's a situation that can become, in fact, quite harmful for the young women, especially when men use that tradition in a competitive way when speaking about sex. And so for me, I completely agree. It's a real shame that we see these news stories pop up in one boarding school after another in the Northeast and across the whole country. But I think we have to recognize that it's not just boarding school culture. This is the kind of thing that goes unchecked in many places. One might argue it's in the workplace. One might argue it's in schools that are public schools. One might argue it's in any institution in America. So we need to review the ways in which we protect young men at the harm of young women across the country.
The book tells us the story of Jules Devereaux and Jamie Baxter, and here are two students who, I guess what they have in common is they're there, they maybe don't feel like they should be, but they're just trying to get through it.
Right, exactly. They it's something they have in common, for sure, is they feel a bit like outsiders, and it's a familiar feeling that I had. I grew up in a more blue-collar and middle-class town just outside of Boston, but I went to high school in a much wealthier community, and the school that I went to, I felt like a real outsider there. And that's the same scenario for James Baxter in particular, who is coming to Fulbrook Academy on a hockey scholarship, and he feels really out of place, and he's there in his postgraduate year, and but he's recognizing something from his past. He's harboring a secret from his past. And he's realizing, maybe for the first time, in fact, that he's been cultured to be a violent machine on the football field and the ice rink. And he's thinking about how some of those attitudes might carry over off the field, out of the rink, and into the rest of his life. And meanwhile, Jules Devereaux is someone who's been in the popular crowd there at Fulbrook for some time, and she's had a lot of social power and clout. But at the beginning of her senior year, after she's broken up with her boyfriend, she finds herself on the outside. And so even though she's smart and, you know, confident and determined to make her way to the college of her choice, once she finds herself outside the protection of that social hierarchy, suddenly she's beginning to realize just how dangerous it is to be someone who hasn't been so well protected before. And so she's kind of coming to terms with what it means to lose some of the privilege that she's been so accustomed to.
For young adults who are reading this story and going through their own experiences in high school, whether it be private or not, what do you hope the takeaway is?
I really appreciate that question, because I do primarily write for young adults, though all of my novels are also for adults. And in this instance, one of the central questions that I wanted to ask when I sat down to write this book is, how can we, as a community, do a better job listening to and supporting women? And in particular, how can men become better feminists? And so one of the takeaways, I hope, is that after reading this book, it can foster a kind of community conversation to begin to address that question. I think novels are vehicles for empathy. And if there is a class that's reading this book, or a book club that's reading this book, or just a group of friends who are reading this book, maybe it provides them an opportunity to begin to talk about misogyny in their community, and they don't have to talk about it with regards to themselves. They can talk about, well, here's how Jamie Baxter handles this, or here's how Jules Devereaux handles this. And it's a way into what might otherwise be an uncomfortable conversation, but necessary nonetheless.
Brendan Kiely's new novel is Tradition. He will be at the Hudson Valley YA Society event at Oblong Books and Music with fellow YA author Marisha Pessel on Sunday, June 10th at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck at 4 p.m. oblongbooks.com. Oblongbooks.com for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.